Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast, the post-Christmas edition, and also the 4 and 11 edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I'm Mark Cook, along with Scott Reynolds and the man bun himself, wearing his dingy Florida Gator denim hat and jorts.
To match my jorts.
Very good.
Trevor Sikkema.
Hello.
This is Trevor Sikkema. Yeah.
He needs a proper introduction.
Does he?
Yeah.
Everyone knows who man bun is.
Hey, my rookie year is over. That's in right. Like 5 days? What are we?
Yeah, something like that.
Five days?
Yeah.
Why? We got to start making him carry our stuff.
And then I go, and then I get to go through the sophomore slump, baby.
You can call him man
bun,
that's fine, but sophomore slump.
Oh, boy.
This website's going to tank.
Great.
Oh, boy.
All right.
So, man bun is like his code name, like a superhero code name. That's fine.
Somebody's asking me about cutting my hair, and I was like, it's my identity now.
Yeah.
Like, Mark would be lost in the podcast if I cut my hair.
Oh, I would still call you man bun.
Oh.
No, talking you about can't your, do that. That doesn't apply anymore.
Have you seen the guy with the shirt off?
That he's is got not.
A, this he has
is,
a double man
these,
bun.
Now really? This is some fake news.
Yeah, like, I thought
like
he had
like hairy chest. He's actually braided that news.
I thought he had a tumor on his chest, and he took his shirt off one day when we were at the spa. He and I were at the spa getting our nails done and getting massages.
Oh, boy.
Hot stone
this
massages.
Is what we got for Christmas.
Oh, really? Sorry. Okay. Yeah. Couples massage?
Did the Seminole Hard Rock.
Glad I wasn't invited.
Was it not from you? I thought it was from you.
No.
What?
No, sir.
Well, we billed it to the company credit card anyway.
That's
we
know fine. That, I just appreciate that I wasn't invited.
I thought it was odd, though, that the masseuse had us holding hands while they were doing the couples massage. Actually, it was a cuddle massage, they called it. So he and I were spooning as we were getting massages.
That's TMI.
Anyway, the point is...
On behalf of Pewter Nation, that is too much information.
The point is,
he has a man bun in other places. Come on.
Again, it's
all right. All right. Anyway, maybe not. I've never seen him without a shirt on, thank goodness. Although, if I'm sure if I looked on his Instagram, there's probably plenty, because he is the selfie king of Pewter Report.
We're like 3 minutes in this damn podcast. It's spiraling.
We're 2 minutes, Uncle Stan. Calm down.
Tubes worse than the Buccaneer season.
Uncle Stan, sit in the corner. Eat your Campbell's soup.
Uncle Stan, go to
we'll
the
turn
corner.
On Andy Griffith for you, or
yes,
Gunsmoke.
Exactly.
And then it'll be right time for bed at 6. Anyway, we are at One Buccaneer Place. We just got done with head coach Dirk Cutter. And who is pretty much done with us. He wasn't in full meltdown mode today or frustration mode, but I mean, you could see
he's resigned.
The problem is
he's resigned to the fate of this season.
You said he resigned?
No, he didn't resign.
Oh,
he was resigned. He is resigned.
I'm going to title the podcast "Dirk Cutter Resigns,"
which would be the dumbest move ever when you have a contract. If you resign,
yeah,
you don't get paid. And like, you know what, guys, I just quit. I can't deal with it anymore.
I mean, the only question
that's happened
have
before
the...
though. Bobby Petrino did that in Atlanta. You had Bruce Kozla do that in Cincinnati.
Out of respect.
I can't do this. You're in better hands with somebody else.
But they probably only had like 1 year left on the deal. Dirk's got 3 more years
to get
paid gravy. Yeah. Easy money. So anyway. All right, so we talked to Dirk a little bit today. Nothing too revealing out of the press conference. We did talk to him a little bit about the reported spat that took place immediately following the game. Apparently Chris Baker was involved in that. And Dirk kind of just chalked it up to, hey, you know, that's football. It happens more often than you think about. But this was a little bit more from the different things that we've heard and read. And Trevor, you were up there.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just your normal run-of-the-mill where maybe there was a little bit of yelling. I mean, there was profanity being thrown around. It was overheard on the broadcast with T.J. Reeves on the Buccaneer Radio Network.
I didn't get to hear it because I believe it was before they let the media in.
Yeah,
right.
So that's when everything was going on. And a couple of people had tweeted at me and they said, hey, are you in the locker room? Because what just happened down there? And I didn't really know what they were talking about, so I didn't really know how to answer it. But, I mean, it's for everybody that doesn't know the situation, you know, Chris Baker, the Bucs had that fourth and three with the Panthers there. Chris Baker jumps off sides or goes in the neutral zone.
So then the distance penalty.
So then it becomes fourth and very short. Mm-hmm. They run the ball. They obviously get it. Then Cam Newton scores.
Or
the next
did
play
they
or the,
get it?
The play after that. No, they did.
You got to review that in a crucial situation
The NFL has total jurisdiction over that. It came within the last 2 minutes. Dirk Cutter was helpless.
Can we all say that if that's the Patriots on defense,
refs,
that play is getting reviewed?
I think the refs kind of really blew it at the end of the game for what their procedure was supposed to be, because not only that call, which you're right, whether he got it or not, they should have taken more time. Winston fumbling the ball, how the hell do you run in to a pile of 15 guys
right,
and go,
and signal.
Panther ball.
Yeah, yeah, right away.
Within 5 seconds. That was ridiculous.
It really was.
Jameis had every right to be that mad about it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he had been having a fantastic game. He had a fantastic game last week. He has been itching.
77% completion.
Right.
Percentage.
I mean, and this is a guy who, this is a competitive, fiery guy who's been itching to have a game-winning drive this year. You know, what is he as a starter this year? Isn't he like...
He's 0-9? 0-10?
Something?
No, he's got 2 wins.
Oh, yeah, you're right. No. Since...
But I mean, in a row,
happened so
since
long
he's
ago.
Come, I know
yeah.
you're right.
What, whatever it was,
yes,
he beat the Giants.
I think he's lost 10 in a row as a starter, though.
Yeah, I think that's it. He's dying to get the chance, and all of a sudden, it's like they take it away from him for no reason. The procedure exists for you to not have to make that call that quick.
The other thing too is, how many times have we seen the ball change hands
in
at the bottom of the pile?
Oh my goodness,
and
so stupid.
And for the consistency from one ref, you know, one officiating crew to the next. There's going to be some refs that literally are going to unpile everybody before they even make a determination.
Well, and I've always been one of those guys.
It's a football
game. I've always said, if you clearly see possession by somebody because they're down, this hand fighting in there, and you know who's the strongest guy.
Right.
But at the same time, again, this is a crucial situation. I don't know how he could have seen clear possession by Peppers in that situation.
He did not.
That's exactly
right. That's what the thing. So, anyways, going back to all of that. Jameis is on the sideline at the end of that game. Obviously, things are getting heated. The Bucs kind of get screwed a little bit on that. And then all of a sudden, you know, so then all of a sudden the game's over. They had maybe a chance to win it. They go down at the very end, and now they're going into the locker room. And I guess from what we've been told, like Chris Baker was not
as happy-go-lucky,
not
self,
as remorseful as people would like for a guy that just jumped off sides to blow. Because I mean, 4th and 3 is a lot different. I mean, if they're running that ball, they're probably not getting it. And even if Cam Newton was doing a sneak on 4th and 3, you could probably hold them.
Without a doubt.
4th and short, you're not really holding Carolina. You're not really holding any team to that. So it was kind of Baker's. I mean, you could just say
it was his
fault. Yeah.
It was, yes.
So there were some players in the locker room.
I'll tell you what it was. How about 3rd and 10, 3 plays before that, when they leave a receiver wide open, Kalen Clay, I believe it was, on the sideline?
Oh, yeah.
How does that happen?
You,
I'm screaming at the TV.
In. You got to factor that in with a 2017 Mike Smith defense.
Guys, we have to back all the way up to the beginning of that drive. You knew, and
yes.
I knew, and Pewter Nation,
everyone
you knew,
knew
that the Panthers were going to march right down the field
and score
the game-winning touchdown.
Not leave any time
period
on the clock,
end.
Essentially.
You know
exactly.
What?
That's what was going to happen. That's what did happen. That's been the story of this season.
You know what? When they got to 4th and 3, I actually let myself believe.
Yes, I did too.
They were going to do it.
I thought,
not me.
This is going to, well, what I envisioned was that Cam Newton was going to do that bootleg again, because the Buccaneers cannot stop a bootleg to save their life. That he would do a play action and he would just take
it. Wait, why should they have some guy spying Cam Newton? The guy is clearly not a threat to run.
Well, he's like one of those cement guys.
Yeah,
like
his
feet are in cement.
Yep.
He's a pocket passer.
Yep.
That's strictly who he is. But he did show on that one little run around the end that
I guess he did get
lucky. He has a little bit of mobility.
Blind squirrel found an acorn on that.
That's
one.
That's right.
Yeah,
he
I don't blame
lucky.
The Bucs for not trying to keep an eye on that guy.
So anyways, in the locker room afterwards, there were some players who were not very happy that Baker was acting like he really couldn't care less that they just lost the game. Jameis Winston was one of them.
I would guess Quan Alexander.
Quan Alexander was another one, and apparently Lavonte David had to get in between them for
I
a little bit
that.
Of a shouting match that happened there. But, I mean, you tweeted this, I think, on the Pewter Report account during the game as I was writing the recap. You said Chris Baker's not going to be on the
He's
team
He's not
going to
be here. He's not.
Because the Bucs.
He's
do not,
not
owe him any money after this year.
Correct.
They can cut him.
Yes.
And with that kind of a reaction, especially when some of the leaders on your team are calling you out after the game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't
look
really
at his body
of
work. Clint McDonald has been a much better defensive tackle.
Yeah, no, Chris Baker's been terrible.
Than Chris Baker.
Yeah.
And whose fault was it that Chris Baker was signed? It was Jason Light's fault. It was. He was the general manager, and he asked Mike Smith, what type of players do you need on this front seven? He's like, well, Mike Smith said, we want to get bigger up front. That was a mantra up front this year. Gerald McCoy put on some weight.
Is it mantra or mantra?
Mantra?
I think it's
mantra.
Mantra.
No.
It's mantra.
Mantra?
It's just
yeah.
like
it's
when I'm riding and I'm
man
not
bun
sure
or
where
bun
it is,
bun.
I just
it's
change
mon
it.
It's mon-bun.
Mon-bun. Yogging or jogging?
Yogging.
Okay.
Jogging.
Jay silent.
Yeah. I'm going to go jogging on
you. Okay. No. Well, maybe.
And Clint McDonald added 10 pounds. Will Golston got up to almost 300 pounds.
That didn't work, did it?
Gerald McCoy added some weight. They got bigger with Chris Baker. And
Brent Grimes got up to 250.
He did not.
No.
No.
He's still 145.
No, Spence lost. He's still 145 pounds.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, how did that happen? Let's get everybody bigger, and then Noah Spence loses weight.
No, he didn't. No, Noah Spence was in the high 230s as a rookie, and he's actually around 242 right now.
I still feel like that's so light.
I know, and it is.
All right.
But, yes, Jason Light signed Chris Baker, and they wanted more pass rush from the inside, from the defensive tackle spot, and it was a bad signing. And there's no other bones about it. It was a bad signing by Light.
You and I talked about this a little bit earlier in the season, just when we were kind of going over Jason Light's tenure with the Buccaneers, and we talked about how this marriage that you have, this relationship between a GM who is normally has a scouting background, has yes. guys that they like, and then even if they like a guy, they still have to sign the players the head coach or the defensive coach wants, right? You can't just necessarily sign. Sometimes it works yes. out, and you obviously just pick the obvious talent if a guy's good enough. But right. like in this instance, right?
Yeah, I mean,
just because people don't know, and I'm saying this just for context. A lot of people are just going to look at this and be like, "Yo, it is Jason Light's fault yes. that they signed Chris Baker." And right. look, he deserves some of the blame. Obviously, you never want to bring in a player that either has a motor issue, lazy, isn't going to be worth the contract,
but
whatever.
But then you got to pat him on the back for the Kendall Beckwith picks and right. things like that. And, you know, it reminds me of the all-time greatest sitcom, and I think Scott would agree with this. This was before your time, but it really reminds me of the theme song from
BJ
the Facts
the
of Life. You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have,
there you have the facts of life.
There's a time you got to know your show, you're growing now, you know about the facts of life.
The facts of life.
That's just the facts of life. You're not going to get all your things right.
I've talked to several general managers around the league, current and former general managers, and I've asked them because free agency.
Wait, Blair
is
or Joe?
Tough.
Blair was the Blair. Blonde. Joe, kind of like Joe. She drove motorcycles. She was pretty handy with mechanical stuff.
Joe cleaned
hot.
Up well too.
Yeah,
she
when did.
She took the grease paint off, you know, and took the jeans jacket off and put a dress on. I mean, Joe was pretty fine.
Yeah, but Blair, you blonde. You can't go wrong with a blonde.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to look up. We'll get you our.
You said two dude names. So.
Blair was hot, and she knew it.
I don't know. You know, y'all are weirding me out right now. So,
well, Blair and Joe used to get couples massages too, like we did, Trevor. Anyway, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt your train of thought. I'm sure there's gonna be several comments about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just glad you didn't say Tootie because I would have had to have said no. I was not a Tootie guy.
What?
Whatsoever. No,
Tootie was the class clown. I love Tootie.
I'm sure you did.
Who was the Mindy Cohen? What was her name on the show?
That was Tootie.
That was Tootie? No, Tootie was the African American.
Oh gosh, yeah.
So well, who was the
that's
big
what,
girl?
That's what who, the big girl is who I was talking about.
I can't remember her name. Oh, that's going
to
drive me crazy. You guys keep talking. I'm going to Google this.
Okay. In polling general managers around the league, mm-hmm. I found if a team can hit on 30% of free agents, that's a good haul.
Really?
30%.
Huh.
It's actually less than draft, and there's a lot of reasons why. Number one, because you have a veteran player who didn't come up maybe in your system.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
And so there is everything from terminology to coaching styles to the different factors. Plus, you have a guy that's not just coming from college and starting his career. He's uprooting from one city with his
Natalie.
Family. Natalie, that's right.
Natalie.
Yeah, Natalie.
You were a Natalie fan.
No, I was not.
You were definitely
I was
Natalie.
A Blair fan
no, he
first,
liked Natalie.
And then Joe second.
Okay.
I would say Tootie third.
Yeah, definitely Tootie third.
And then Natalie.
Okay.
For sure, in that order. And then probably, actually probably.
I would go Mrs. Garrett.
I would say Mrs. Garrett
over,
before Natalie.
Yeah, yeah, probably so.
Yeah. But we digress. So when you look at free agents, then how much money plays into a role of that, right? From all of a sudden, you know, you're a one contract guy, rookie contract, and then you're getting, you know, a big chunk of change because you're a big free agent guy. So I think that plays a role into it as well. When you look at.
What?
You're holding up a picture of Natalie right now.
She's not. I.
You think she's fine, and that's okay. Mark.
Yeah,
I'm not
going
to knock your judgment.
Not
if that's
the worst.
If that's your kind of girl, go for it. Not mine. I'm more of a Blair guy.
Okay. All right.
So, in the draft, it's actually a higher percentage, especially in the first round. It's more 50-50. Mm-hmm. So does that forgive Jason Light? No, it's just one of his bad picks. And there's been some other ones that have been good. Brent Grimes has been really good.
I was looking up Natalie, so I might not have heard Scott's reasoning. But listen, we've had multiple coaches tell us this. There's a reason guys make it to free agency. Rarely is it just because a team doesn't have enough money. You can find money.
Right.
There are head cases. They're lazy. There's locker room issues. Sure. There's things like that. I mean, an impact football player
rarely
gets there.
More money than really what their value is.
Yeah.
Where just like, okay, if you want to go cash in somewhere else, you can. You know, and a lot of times those
Russell
are the guys
Shepard.
That don't fit in well.
Perfect example.
Yeah.
Locker room problem.
Mike
just
Lennon.
No, a guy that Jason Light just said, I'm just not going to pay you $3 million a year for.
Yeah, he's you're a 4 or 5 receiver, you're not a 3. Right. Carolina's going to pay you $3 money and go be their number 3 wide receiver. So, that's part of it. Chris Baker's not going to be here next year, and that's whether Jason Light's the general manager or not, and that's whether Dirk's the head coach or not.
What about Chris Conte? Just talk about Chris's. I'm just kidding. There's no reason to talk about Chris. Chris will be here next year. He's a stud. Chris Conte has played 2 of his best games all year, the last 2 games.
I mean, he's fine.
You know?
I mean,
he's played okay.
What? No, the last 2 games he's played better than okay.
He's played better than some other games that he's had.
That's a fair way to say that, Trevor.
I'm going to tell him you said this tomorrow in open locker room.
Wow.
I will.
That's fine.
Okay.
Guess he probably won't be part of training camp diaries next year now, Scott. Thanks a lot.
That's okay.
Okay, we'll get Chris Godwin next year. Since apparently Trevor has a man
Chris
Godwin.
Let's talk about Chris Godwin.
Sure.
Since we're on the Chris train here.
Sure.
Is there any more Chris's we could talk about before?
Probably. That's the only. Look up the roster. Yeah. But Chris Godwin
CJ
had a hell
team?
Of a game.
Might get a Christopher in
Chris
there.
Would you
McCoy.
Agree?
What?
Chris Godwin, hell of a game?
Yeah, oh yeah.
So he got
very
good. He catches 98 yards?
Very expected.
Was he a little winded at the end of that 70-yard run?
I mean, yeah, right? We all would be.
Well, here's the funny thing. Going back to training camp, remember Hard Knocks? They were talking about Chris Godwin, how his conditioning needs to improve. I mean, he looks pretty chiseled to me. It's kind of crazy that it's not like this guy has much room to lose any body fat.
If
I think he's a very well-conditioned guy.
Don't realize how far 100 yards is. Like somebody, because I was tweeting about this in the middle of the game, and one of the things—
run it backwards. Go ahead.
One of the things that I tweeted was— that I think Chris Godwin does almost everything better than DeSean Jackson does.
Yes.
And somebody was like, DeSean Jackson doesn't get caught at the end of that run. It's like, okay, pal.
That's a good point.
One.
How many 70-yard catches does DeSean Jackson have this year?
Right. I mean, like, the fact that he would be like, well, DeSean Jackson doesn't get caught at the end of that. Okay, one. DeSean Jackson has ducked away from coverage or ducked away from hits so many times this year that he would never let himself run 70 yards. Two, DeSean Jackson wouldn't have broken the tackles to get into the open space to get the 70 yards. Three, they probably wouldn't have given him a route to go that well anyways because the offense sucks. There you go.
I like your last answer the best. I was going to say, how many times has he been put in position? And Dirk talked about that today. That was a play they were trying to set up
Todd Monken
for
said
that coverage.
Last week. He said, we have not done a good job. And that was the first time I've really heard that and been like, wow.
Well, that's
what
I said. That's
yourself.
Why I said before the podcast and even on Ron and JP show why I think if John Gruden were to be here, if DeSean is here, Gron Juden.
Okay.
If he is here next year as the head coach, I think that he would love to have a guy like him on there just because of the speed and the Galloway thing. No.
Okay.
Well, I think he would be smart to keep Todd Monken. Personally, I like Todd Monken.
I think he was indicting himself a little bit too. I mean, he is the offensive coordinator.
I don't know how much.
I think that may be the biggest sham in the history of the world.
What?
I mean, that's as big a sham as when Barry Manilow was married. Todd Monken has nothing to do with the design of these offensive plays. Certainly not calling any of them.
I don't know that you can make that definitive claim that he has nothing to do with those.
No, Dirk doesn't even let him in offensive meetings.
You don't think
he's hanging out with DBs? He's in there, and he probably brings. This is what he does. He probably
you're changing
brings,
your tune there, Barry
he
Manilow.
He probably brings Dirk. Hey, I watch film. This is what I think we do best.
Right.
Here's a grouping with this personnel. Here's
exactly
a group with this personnel.
That's what he does.
I see good matchups here, but. When it comes to game day, when it comes to on the headset talking to Jameis Winston,
no doubt about it.
You know,
I mean, we've had a couple of times this year where we've had Todd Monken at the press conference, and he has told us, "Yeah, you know, I think we're really gonna try to establish the run this week," and then they don't do that, and then he comes back the next week and he's like, "Yeah, well, I thought we were gonna establish the run, and then we didn't." So to me, that kind of says that he might be involved in coming up with a game plan, but right. in terms of executing it, calling plays,
no,
design,
nothing.
Whatever,
he doesn't have any
zero. He might as well be hanging out with the DBs right. at that point.
He'd be hanging out with us in the press box. He wants to.
One thing I brought up on with JP today was I think Dirk's biggest mistake this year, and we've talked about it a little bit though, but looking back on it now, he hinted that he was considering giving up play calling duties. The game. The overall management of the game is just too much for him to also call plays. Some guys are able to do that. Dirk just wasn't ready to do that, I don't think. And had he given up play calling duty to Todd Monken, this may be a completely different season.
That's a great point. And I think you can look at this last game. There's been instances throughout the year. But this last game, they went into halftime with the timeout.
Yeah.
Right? They had first and goal at the three-yard line, and they had time for one play.
Yes.
And then they had to kick the field goal.
I mean,
so
it should be a sin to go into halftime with a timeout.
Yes. Now I know that a penalty got them a more, you know, like got them more downs to work with.
Right.
It gave them automatic first down inside the 5-yard line. That certainly helped, and that's something that you can't anticipate. But at the same time, why not burn your timeouts? If I guess the thinking was that maybe if we kick the ball off to Carolina, they're going to score another touchdown again.
They haven't done anything really all game, though. Their only touchdown in the first half came on the kickoff return.
That's
right?
what I'm saying. Maybe that was Dirk's reasoning for going into that.
If you
were
fearful of a kick return, then you lost the game.
Exactly.
Dirk can't. That's the thing. When Carolina went for that fake punt,
right?
My son, I was watching the game with him. I said, this is what frustrates me about Dirk. Carolina is trying to secure a playoff berth with a win today against the Buccaneers.
You're the Buccaneers. You have
nothing
to lose.
Nothing. Do you think, Dirk, it's ever even crossed his mind to attempt a fake punt?
No.
And how many times have they been on the other side of the 50 when they you know, outside of field goal range?
Adam Humphries and Jacquizz Rodgers return punts and kicks.
Yeah, that says it all right there.
You have Bobo Wilson on the team.
Yeah.
You watch that one route that Bobo ran that got him the touchdown, and you see how explosive he is.
Yeah.
How the hell is that guy not on kick and punt return? Come on.
They gave him an opportunity in the last preseason game, and he excelled.
He earned a spot on the practice squad from that.
This little thing, just picking up little things and refusing to run with it.
Well, Dirk is as by the book as any coach.
I mean,
the coach's book. It's fourth and two. We're at the 42-yard line. We're punting the ball and trying to pin them back and play good defense. The problem is they don't play good defense normally.
It's Tuesday. That's when we're recording this podcast. Dirk Cutter, we asked him, hey, was Peyton Barber hurt?
Yeah.
Because why the heck didn't you play him in the end of the game?
Well, we went into the game. We were going to rotate and go with the hot back, and we didn't really run the ball.
So was Doug Martin the hot back in the second half?
He hasn't been the hot back
7 yards
since 2013.
On six carries?
Yeah, Rick Stroud did bring up a good point when we were talking about it. I mean, Peyton Barber's first half stats were skewed to a degree by that 34-yard run. Although, that'll always be in the official Elias Sports Bureau books that he had a 34-yard run.
No,
it was still his run.
Yeah,
you can't take it away.
Yeah, don't give me that. Don't give me that.
Chances are skewed. If you hand off the ball to Peyton Barber again, you have a better chance of getting another 34-yard run from him than you do Doug Martin.
I'll be honest with you. I never thought I would say this. I would almost rather see Charles Sims at running back than Doug Martin these days.
Oh, man.
Because at least,
you might as well.
At least if somehow all the linebackers fell down, he's going to score. If he doesn't dance and trip over his own feet.
Yeah.
But if he ever gets to the second level, which is rare, but if he ever gets to that second level, he's a dangerous guy. I'm not as down on Charles Simpson.
He had a very nice deep ball catch on, I think it was a drive that got him a touchdown? No, it couldn't have been. The field goal one.
No, it was that outlet pass where the blitz was coming. And
yeah,
James
he threw it to
it
his right, far to his right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
everybody raved about, and that was a great play by Jameis because they decided, you know what, we're just not going to block the linebacker at all.
Right.
And that was a great play for him to escape pressure. But if he makes a good throw, he scores on that play. Mm-hmm. I mean, he threw it where he had to basically run out of bounds. Yeah. They end up kicking a field goal.
I would have liked to have seen some screen passes. And I know that they tried to do it once or twice, and Pepper snuffed out one, and he got a sack, and I saw that.
Well, and Jameis had to throw back the other way on one.
Yeah,
he was getting ready to throw
that
receiver screen.
That was really good on him.
Yeah.
But I would have liked to have seen if they're bringing Kuechly through that A-gap, which they did repeatedly in that game. That's when you go to your middle screen with the tight end, with Cam Brate. Slip him across the middle and throw right over the linebacker's head.
Across
at least get a couple yards.
How bad?
Are those illegal? Or
they are in Dirk's world.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. There's no slants or crossing patterns or drag routes.
How about Wilson playing the slot and he just runs his quick drag route? How many linebackers keeping up with him?
Probably none, but that's something that Dirk wouldn't employ.
Yeah.
Well, and And I forgot what I was going to say now. Thanks a lot, guys.
Way to go, Mark.
What were we just talking about? Screen passes.
Yes.
James Winston.
Julius Peppers. Football. NFL. Blair.
Women named Natalie.
Yeah. No,
Natalie Portman.
This is like the facts of Dirk. It really is. We're spitting out some facts of Dirk now. And this is why, you know, he may not be employed.
Probably not
going
to be here next year. And you know what? I said to somebody this weekend, of course, you know, we all were doing family things. How many questions did you guys get about the Buccaneers with family members and friends over the holidays?
I mean, every conversation.
Holy cow. If I would have had...
None.
What?
No, people did not ask you about the Buccaneers this weekend?
Bag boys at Publix were asking me about the Buccaneers.
No.
Hey, you're Mark Cook.
Mark Pooter.
I went out in disguise and no one recognized me.
Oh, you wore your Groucho Marx disguise.
Yes.
Good idea.
What do you say there, Cookie?
He actually wore his Caitlyn Jenner disguise.
No.
It looks much better in heels. Mm-hmm. But you know, I mean, I got it from everybody. I mean, everywhere I went, you know, family-wise. And you know, what's wrong with the Buccaneers? What
I mean, I get
wrong?
Those texts all the time. If that's
Yeah, well.
Yes, but nothing to do with Christmas. I've been getting those on an almost
for 24
daily
years.
Basis. Yeah, I just literally got from a good friend of mine, Bob. He left me a voicemail, and I'm sure it's wanting to know what's the latest.
Well, I mean, our good buddy Hayes from the message boards.
It's like, so what's the latest? I'm like, well, there's two things. There's the latest stuff that's in our heads that we can't talk about, which is half of what we know, right? And then the other half is it's on the website.
Yeah.
So it's either
read
the stories on pewterreport.com.
I'm probably going to put it on the website that keeps me employed first.
Yeah.
So if you don't see anything on there, then I probably don't have this big scoop because – who wants to break a national story, right? Not me.
Right.
No way. But anyway, no, we all have our few go-to people that we throw a little bit here and there because we feel we can trust them. But that doesn't mean start contacting
anyone.
All of us, and except Trevor. He's not allowed to talk to anybody. We monitor his phone because he's like he gets super excited when he gets scoop and he can't help himself. He's calling up Ian Rappaport.
The funny thing is
– hey, I'm in Jameis's camp, and he says – we found the camper. The camper.
It's
it
you,
was
Trevor.
Oh,
it's
well.
You.
All right, real quick. We've got a few more minutes left in this podcast, and we're going to talk about our great sponsor, too, because there's some great bowl games starting tomorrow with Florida State playing Southern Miss. This is going to be one hell of a ball game.
The bowl game that they're not eligible for? The bowl game
that they're not eligible for? The best bowl game, which is going to be tonight, Kansas State versus UCLA.
Oh,
in the Cactus
Lord.
Bowl.
If you play any bowl game before December 20. What's tomorrow? 27th? Before the 27th is not a real bowl game.
Really? Is that the new rule?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Commissioner
It
Cook.
Starts
Appreciate
at the 27th
that.
On. So anyway. All right. So
well, here,
wait a little bit about your 2-point conversion. Let's talk about that, Scott, because you kind of broke some information and confirmed some stuff that was coming out, things that we had an idea about for a long time.
Okay. Here's the funny thing is, and sometimes it's all about timing. I told you this beforehand. I was going to write in my 2-point conversion after the game that Gruden had been out there putting some feelers out with former coaches, with associates around the league, asking for referrals, recommendations.
Monty Kiffin?
No.
Floyd Peters?
And in Ian Rappaport, I actually came out with that information Sunday morning. Yeah. And, you know, hey, good for him. I almost wrote about it in the Fab Five as a nugget, and I said I'm going to hold it for Sunday, and that's what happens sometimes. No
oh,
deal.
You got served.
Well, but the cool thing is – it makes what I heard and believe to be true even more valid if Ian Rappaport is reporting as well. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's kind of like we're not the only one out there on the limb.
Right.
At this instance, it's like, okay, well, and we've been out there on the limb pretty far this year, like longer than anybody else with the Gruden stuff and farther out on the limb. And that's just based on the information that we have. And so when you hear these other national sources join the chorus and all of that.
Right.
It really solidifies,
yep.
Wow, what we've been hearing is really true.
Yep.
It doesn't mean that John Gruden's going to be the next coach of this team because there has to be an offer. There has to be, you know, an agree-to-term situation. I'll remind everybody that Bill Parcells was in line to be the next head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2002, and that's why they fired Tony Dungy, but he backed out, and that's why they got John Gruden. So
Bill jilted this organization
twice. Yes. Once with the Culver Houses, once with the Glaziers.
Yep.
So
Chip Kelly.
But, yeah, Chip Kelly jilted Mark Dominic, right? So we could be going down this road.
Vince Lombardi.
And all signs could be pointing Aaron towards Rodgers. John Gruden, and it might not happen.
Right.
But everything that we're hearing and everything that we know is leading in that direction.
And then confirmed by Ian Rappaport.
A lot of it, yeah. Yep. So, and we would be derelict in our duties if we're not reporting this.
Sure.
It's not like we are you know, wanting this to happen. It's just this is what we know. So this is the direction we're going. Speaking of two-point conversions, I want to find out real quick before we get into mybookie.ag, the best place to go for online gambling. Your 2 points in terms of Christmas, what was your best present that you got this year, and what was the ho-hum, nice, but okay, or just plain old crappy present that you got?
Well, let's start with the, I don't want to say crappy, but it wasn't my favorite present. My mom got me some great things. She also got me my favorite gift. She also got me my least favorite gift. She ordered a couple polos, and they're Amazon brand. Now, I know she does all her Christmas shopping. I didn't even know there was an Amazon. Apparently, they have their own clothing line now.
Amazon Prime
clothing. So they're like pastel, and they don't even have any logo. I'm glad they don't have the A on there, at least, because then people would think I work for Amazon. But I opened those, and I wasn't overly excited. Not to say I won't wear them, but they'll make nice golf shirts or something like that. Yeah. Not a problem. I will wear them because I don't think I can go to the Amazon store and return them. But
there's no Amazon store. Yeah,
exactly. So we'll wear them. But then I scored. It's a tie between, three things. New checkerboard Vans. I can't make up my mind. You've put me on the spot. Another pair of checkerboard Vans. That would be my 13th pair since 1983. and I think I have most of them still.
Okay, Imelda Marcos and your shoe fetish.
Yes, all right. Or Imelda Spicoli. And then I also scored, everyone listening doesn't know, but my feet are literally falling apart. And so I was able to score a nice pair of Skecher extra wide tennis shoes. Mm-hmm. With the memory foam inside.
Do they have the wheelies at the back?
No, I asked for those, but they do light up every time I walk, which is good.
Good.
I got a little transformer on the back. But that, and also,
my favorite. Those light up shoes, Mrs. gave them to me. So
Uncle
when
Stan,
I have to get up and pee in the night, I could put them on.
Uncle
and
Stan,
see where I'm
going. Be quieter, we're going to insert your catheter. All right, and then the last one. This may be my favorite. I'm holding out. I haven't even started watching yet. I got the Abbott and Costello box set of all 28 films released by Universal Studios. Abbott and Costello go to Mars. Abbott and Costello join the Foreign Legion. Abbott and Costello
meet Frankenstein.
One of my favorite ones. What are you talking about? What's over there? And they would always, like Frankenstein would duck behind a pole every time they would turn around. And then he would, and then he would pop back out. It's just brilliant. And I will loan you these, Trevor. So you can understand the genius of Abbott and Costello.
Did you get those at Cracker Barrel for $5.99?
Easy. No, they were from Amazon as well.
You have a VCR I can borrow as well?
Yeah, I got LaserDisc too.
Okay.
All right, so that's my least and my most favorite.
Trevor?
Hair product?
Least, no, I don't trust anybody with that. I get it myself. My least favorite, my mom does this all the time. Like, even like birthdays, Christmas,
underoos?
Whatever. Jeez.
I can see him still wearing underoos, though.
She
millennial.
Tries like a to onesie. Give me clothes, yes. And she knows I'm super picky with them. And every time she tries to give me clothes, I'm like, this is, I appreciate it,
really?
But like,
you're
I don't,
super picky?
Like, I don't like
Gator
these
t-shirt.
Clothes.
Right.
And
a Gator hat.
She
and Doc Martin boots.
Got me these shirts again that I'm like, I'm not going to wear these ever. So, like, I don't know.
Do they still have the tags at least? You can go back to
Bell's. Yeah, no, 100%. No, she's smart now. She understands.
So she essentially got you a gift card is what she did.
Yeah, she gives me a gift. I go, I don't like this. She goes, all right, fine.
Instant gift
card.
But
does. See, my mom never remembers to keep the receipt, so I have to go back to Bell's.
Yeah.
Would you get a gift
you
card,
train
though?
You got to be mean about it.
I know, but here's the deal. If you don't have the receipt, they give you the lowest price it was on sale in the last month.
That's true. Yeah.
So
my mom might have paid $30 for it, but I'm going to get $4.99.
You got to be mean about it like 2 years in a row. You know, be like, hey, I appreciate the upper
No hand, more clothes, Mom. No more clothes. How dare you buy me free stuff?
Well, I'm just
evil
never
woman.
Gonna wear this. Yeah. So now, you know.
I'm a grown-up now. I can pick up my own clothes. I hate this family.
And so.
Trevor had a millennial meltdown over Christmas dinner. Just burst out into tears.
No more clothes, Mom.
This family is bullspit. Go ahead. Come on.
And then the best gift that I got, I just moved up to a new house up in Tampa, and my parents are helping me buy a new bed for the first time in like 10 years. So
a water bed?
Ooh.
I got a water bed
with
a lava
lamp that comes with it? Hell yeah.
Let me tell you something about a water bed.
Bringing back
they had
the
heaters. And they were the greatest thing in the wintertime because you didn't need a blanket. You just, of course, in the summertime, you would sweat. Like,
when I was a kid, my grandparents had a waterbed. And so, like, when I would go over to their house to, like, stay the night or whatever,
didn't
I'd
you think
like,
it was the coolest
can I please
thing
just
ever?
Go in the, can I please just go in the waterbed? Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm just, like, sitting in a pool. So I thought it was the greatest
thing
ever.
It was awesome. All right, Reynolds.
Okay.
By the way, I saw all of your Christmas gifts because your wife posted every single thing you
did
opened.
Did she really?
Yeah. Nice handkerchiefs for your suit.
Okay.
And your Kansas State tie.
That's what we're talking about. That was the worst gift. I told her, I said, I need a purple pocket square.
Right. You got 12 of them.
I got 12 of them. Yes.
Okay. I don't know they sell them individually. I think it's like
this is
12
crazy.
Or 9.
No, it's like when I opened one, I was like, oh, cool. It's exactly what I wanted.
But don't tell me she wrapped
square.
Them individually. So you thought you had 12 presents and it was 12 pocket
I
squares.
I think there were three different packages of pocket squares.
Oh, my gosh.
I literally have a dozen pocket squares, which I needed one.
Right.
Maybe two. I was like, oh, wow, this one's great. This is perfect, babe. And then the second one, I was like, oh, wow, this one's really good, too. And then I get all these others. I'm like,
well, you got the 12.
I don't have enough suits for these pocket squares.
David Kahn calling David Kahn.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to have to sell those on the black market or something. But, okay, this might sound, I don't know how this is going to sound.
Your trampoline. That was your favorite
God,
gift.
No, God, no.
Oh, that, man.
I would pay money to see him dancing on a trampoline.
I wish that every year my parents would tell
me, I'm
not getting it for you
for us not to get the
arm.
Trampoline.
Trampolines are the greatest.
I was so mad.
I told the kids, I said, listen, this trampoline costs $250, okay? Like, x-rays cost more than that. The copay to the ER costs more than that. I don't want to pay any more for this trampoline than $250. That's how much I'm putting into it. I expect you guys to like
you
not
break,
break your
arm,
neck
it's on
or your
you.
Arm. Exactly.
Wait till you look out the window
and you all get enough money
day.
For Christmas, you little entitled kids from your grandparents, that you're going to have enough money to pay for your own x-rays.
Wait till you literally look out the window one day and they've built a rope from a tree and they're jumping off the garage, landing on the trampoline that they have water and your Dawn dishwashing soap to slide off of it. I saw my son and his buddy Tyler do that one time. True story.
I'm just concerned because the trampoline is kind of close to the pool, and I don't want them trying to jump over the mesh netting into
gonna
the
happen.
Pool.
Gonna happen.
I know. So I would say because that wasn't my gift, that was the children's. Mm-hmm. I would say the pocket squares are the worst. Probably the best gift. I get this wicked ass awesome Def Leppard T-shirt for Christmas, and
crickets.
I just love it. I'm sorry.
Crickets?
I got some cool things. I got a K-State tie.
Wish I get cool shirts.
I got this
thanks
awesome
a lot,
Def Leppard shirt.
That is funny though. Trevor and I had our gifts were mom shirts. The worst thing ever. But anyway,
I've got this old Def Leppard Pyromania T-shirt that I wear and I love it.
Won't that Gleaten Glauten Globen?
Won't that Gleaten Glauten Globen?
Yeah.
One, okay.
Nice.
And this one is the Def Leppard logo. It's like a light blue shirt.
Oh my God! I got a Def Leppard story. Go ahead.
And I've got a Chuck Berry story.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, it's the same one, though.
But oh, okay.
For those who missed the first one, I could retell it.
Well, the Def Leppard story is like the Chuck Berry story.
Is it really?
No, not at all.
Okay. Anyways, this is the Def Leppard logo on top of the Union Jack, on top of the British flag. I just think it looks kick-ass.
Well,
so I was really happy about that.
All right, that's kind of cool, because I do like
I'm
Def Leppard.
I'm going to post that on Twitter.
Now,
because it's going to get a ton of likes.
1984, I was a seventh grader, maybe an eighth grader at Turkey Creek Junior High. And remember, you had to dress out for P.E. So we all had the, it was the 80s, so the shorts were rather short.
And you had to shower, too.
No, we didn't shower.
No, we did.
Nobody
we
showered.
Had to.
We did not. We just stunk. You hoped you had P.E. when you got your schedule seventh period. You hated first period because you were going to smell and you would not have a girlfriend all year. But anyway, so I had the short shorts. They were maroon. You know, like the kind of the silky, the kind of the coach's shorts, but not the bike shorts. You know what I mean? It's hard to explain, but you remember the 80s.
They were track shorts. They were nut huggers.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, I definitely, you could see two small onions when I went out to play volleyball with the Turkey Creek squad. But, so I was with my mom in Tampa and sister, and we were at the Floraland Mall, which is still there, but it's now like Child Protective Services or something. It's offices. But there was a guy who airbrushed in there.
Mm-hmm.
And again, remember, this is the 80s. I can't believe I'm telling the story. I actually took purchased a T-shirt, not just a T-shirt, a half shirt. Paid $14 for this guy to airbrush the Def Leppard logo on the front of it. So I roll into Turkey Creek on Monday. with my short maroon shorts and flippered half t-shirt, and those sons of bitches laughed at me.
Like I'm laughing at you right now.
Like I'm laughing at myself. I swear on the Bible. And then I think I had the back puffy letters ironed on. That just said Mark. That just said Mark. Like anybody would want to steal that shirt. I also had a rat tail, but I won't talk about that. Okay, I can't breathe. That's a true story. And I haven't thought about this story in 30 years until you brought up a Def Leppard t-shirt. I swear on the Bible and all things holy,
I had an
airbrushed Def Leppard half shirt that I wore to PE. One time, because I was so humiliated after that, I never wore that shirt again. I wish I still had it, though. It'd be a collector's item. And I would wear it in the one Buccaneer. I would wear it to open locker room tomorrow if I had it.
That was some hysteria right there, my friend.
That's the hardest I've ever seen Scott and Mark laugh in my life.
Well, you've never seen us in Mobile when it's 2 in the morning after we've been drinking at the battleship with Jerry Jones. We've had some funny laughs then when we do our Charlie Campbell.
Yeah. Well, listen, I've got a sad tale to talk about now. Just to take it down a notch.
Wow. You're resigning?
No. That would not be sad.
Damn, I mean, yeah, that would be
devastating. Right, it would be happy for you.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, no. New. Yeah. No, I'm not writing the Fab Five. Forget about it.
I was doing really good with my college football picks on mybookie.ag.
Here it comes.
And here we go. And I crossed over into the NFL.
Here we go. You never.
I know. Tell it, Trevor.
You Say never.
It. Speak it.
Better than the NFL.
That's right. And I did. And I've done it. And I've done it a lot lately. And it hasn't worked out for me. But I will say this. I'm still kicking ass in college bowl games. You know, you're still laughing about the Def Leppard thing. I know.
No, I'm laughing, about the Def Leppard. Why did I do that? Showing all my full man glory and then my belly hanging out of this half shirt.
Yeah.
And the puffy letters on the back. Why?
Yeah. I'd
Mark. That, just Mark. Not Cook. Not Cookie.
That's not a good visual, dude.
Yeah, it wasn't.
I don't think I would have been your friend in high school.
No, I lost everyone for at least a year after that.
Laughed at you. And I'd never really picked on kids. I thought that was mean. I never really laughed at
you. I bullied myself.
But I would have laughed at you.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead. Sorry. Mybookie.ag.
Yeah. Mybookie.ag. I've been cleaning up college bowl games, and listen, when Kansas State wins tonight, I'm going to clean up there as well. And not just that, but I'm also going to clean up in the locker room tomorrow because Caleb Benenock is going to have to be sporting some K-State purple gear. Well, I'm just saying. I'm feeling pretty good about it. And here's the cool
thing. I've never been a bigger UCLA fan than I will be tonight.
Damn you to hell. And when Josh Rosen doesn't play tonight, here's the thing. I bet on K-State when they were getting 2 points. Now, or actually I should say they're giving 2 points. Now it's K-State -6, and I actually had the bet at -2, so I feel better about that.
Well, that's good.
Because Rosen's not going to be playing.
You got it early.
I did.
Why isn't he playing?
Concussion. He's had like 3 concussions this year.
That's not good.
And he's thinking he's going to be like the number one overall pick, and I don't know how anyone would pick that guy in the top 10 given his concussion.
Well, leave it to the Browns. They will.
Well, true. That's a very
good
point.
Even if he says, I don't want to play for you, they'll still probably pick him.
Yeah. But mybookie.ag, I highly recommend them for college betting. And if you're better than me at picking NFL games, then by all means, go for it. Show what you got. Log on to the website. Create an account. It's super fast, super easy. Mention pewterreport.com's Pewter Nation podcast. When you do, and then if you type in the code word pewter, they're going to double your initial deposit.
Up to $1 million.
Not that much.
Okay.
But like a lot. So you can put in a couple $100, you can put in $1,000, you can put in $5, whatever it is, they're going to match it. So highly recommend that. You can get in on some action. NHL's going on, NBA. It'll be baseball season, unfortunately, before you know it.
And go my Rays. Bookie. Just kidding.
No. Yeah, go away, Rays. Mybookie.ag is year round betting, and they've got the fastest payouts in the business. Mention pewter, PEWTER, as your code word, and that's going to double your initial deposit.
All right, fellas, we managed to milk another, I don't know how long, 43 minutes out of this podcast of completely useless information that no one cares about. Just kidding.
Kind of like the Bucs season this year, unfortunately.
Easy. That's not very nice. All right, we're going to sign off. Today is Tuesday. We'll have another podcast later in the week as the Buccaneers
Trevor,
prepare
you're
to pick
to
up their...
You have to find a good Def Leppard song to play at the beginning here.
No, I'm playing The Facts of Life. This podcast is going to be called The Facts of Dirk. I already think of this stuff as we do the podcast.
There you go. So. I like it.
All right, so we'll do that. How about a little pyromania at the end? We need a fade-out song this week.
Yeah.
You can do two.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do like a little Def Leppard fade.
Pay me overtime for the second song?
Yeah. We're just trying not to pay royalties on it. Anyway, all right, but we'll be back later in the week with another podcast. There was no Monday mailbag this week because it fell on Christmas, but I am going to do a New Year's mailbag next week. But we did do our roundtable. We want people to check that out. I think we had a really good topic. It blew up in the Facebook Buccaneer fan groups, too. Unfortunately, I posted under my thing and ended up with like 9,000 notifications. People are going crazy. And it's about 50-50 split on, was Jameis Winston's late game meltdown in Carolina, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Mm-hmm. So we all wrote our opinions. We're not going to give them right now. We want you to go to PeterReport.com and check those out.
Mark, you wouldn't happen to have a photograph of that Def Leppard crop
come on,
top,
come
would
on.
You?
Now you're just fooling me, dude. Not fair.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, but let's just be honest, though. Say what you want about Def Leppard. More men have got lap dances to Pour Some Sugar on Me than any other song in the history of lap dancing. True or false?
I would probably say true.
Yeah, yes. Definitely true. That's I always nice. Tend to put the Freebird live version on in the jukebox because it's 12 minutes. You know, Pour Some Sugar on Me is only like 4.5. So anyway, I want to get my $20 worth. Anyway, we appreciate everybody listening to the podcast. For the Man Bun, for Scott Reynolds, I'm Mark Cook, saying we'll see you later for another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast. Out.
Out.